American Airlines, Mr. Bischoff.
Good morning, Your Honors. John Bischoff on behalf of the appellants. May it please the Court. This case involves two flight engineers, former flight engineers with American Airlines, that were retired based on the fact that their positions were no longer necessary. In the lower court, Judge Shanker has put some obstacles up for us. The first being that the finding that the charges that were filed by both Mr. Miller and Mr. Royals was deficient in that it didn't notify the EEOC nor American Airlines as to the charge that the agreement that was in place discriminated on its face against.
But you know, Mr. Bischoff, your original theory was that this Supplement U made no distinction in terms of the duty of American Airlines to put flight engineers into jobs with the same compensation based on their age or retirement status. It was a neutral provision from that point of view, and so it applied to your clients who were over the age of 65 at the time American retires the last of its 727s. After you lose on the arbitration, which says, no, that's actually not what Supplement U means, the arbitrator says Supplement U, in fact, only gives the guarantee of a comparable position from the point of view of compensation up until you're 65, and you just have to take what American gives you thereafter. Now you have a discrimination theory that Supplement U creates two classes of people. One, those who lose their jobs before the age of 65, and two, those who lose their jobs, or you know, the jobs become obsolete, or however you want to put it. American no longer has that kind of employment. It's really quite a different theory. One of them is there's no distinction drawn in Supplement U. The other is there is a distinction drawn in Supplement U.
I maybe it was inartfully drawn, Your Honor, but at the very beginning, we agreed with American Airlines that the normal retirement age was age 65.
I understand that, but your point before the arbitrator was that you had your clients somehow under the language of this were still entitled to a job where the salary would be governed by the compensation plan that they had as flight engineers.
Well,
that's what you said. Now, the arbitrator didn't read, well, the arbitrator thought it was untimely, but that's what you said.
That's correct, Your Honor. But we were forced to go to Fort Worth, Dallas, to arbitrate an interpretation of agreement that we had already agreed that normal retirement age was 65.
But you didn't agree that if somebody was moved to a different job after 65, that the compensation went down. I mean, you keep focusing on this 65. You're right, everybody agrees retirement age was 65, but you didn't agree with the consequences of being older than 65.
The reason that we went before the arbitrator, in my opinion, the only purpose was for the arbitrator to find equality in the tripartite agreement in Supplement U. It was formulated in 1983.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
In 1988.
Equality in the tripartite agreement?
Right. In other words, the purpose of the supposedly of Supplement U was so that all of the flight engineers that were remaining would be able to reach maximum pension. But in 1988, the pension was no longer frozen at the age of 65. You had people that were working beyond age 65, and the pension grew and grew and grew. I was thinking that possibly why we were sent to the arbitrator, that the arbitrator would say, the normal retirement age is no longer 65. That would be the only possible reason of going to the arbitrator. We agreed that 65, but then Judge Shanker sent us to the arbitrator.
Well, this is not useful, but Why don't you move on to another point? I think that, in fact, the arbitrator thought that he was being asked to decide what are the consequences of being 65, not whether 65 alone was...
He was asked to interpret what was the normal retirement age.
Let me ask you a different question. Under Supplement U, would it have been possible for the plaintiffs to be offered a position that had higher salary and benefits comparable to or even higher than the flight engineer position?
Certainly they wouldn't be precluded from offering that position. The airlines at the arbitration considered that they had two duties. One, that they were to allow people that were the flight engineers that were retired under the age of 65 to give them a position of comparable pay so that they would be able to max out on their pension. The other requirement was that regardless of the age, they were supposed to offer them a job that would be meeting with their qualifications and their experience.
You can always offer a person a bonus to leave by age 65, right?
That would be voluntary. That would be voluntary.
But, you know, the arbitrator thought the second question was the company upon the elimination of the flight engineer position obligated by Supplement U to offer the grievance alternative employment at salaries comparable to those they had had as flight engineers? And I would have assumed you would have said yes, that's what the company had to do.
Well, in the hearing, Mr. Burdett testified to the fact that they considered that there were two duties, one for the to give the flight engineers that were under the age of 65 a position that was comparable to their pay, but separate and apart, they were also required to give any flight engineer a job.
And they offered your clients a job, even though at a much lower salary. Some people like to keep a job because there are health benefits that go along with it that are perhaps better than those that retirees get, or because I guess the pension is based on the best 60 of the last 120 months or something like that. The first year or so of working at the lower pay level wouldn't harm the pension, right?
Correct. The first issue, I don't think we've discussed the whether or not my clients were required to, in the initial charge, to give more information than they did. They claimed that they were dismissed or they were forced to retire because of the fact that they were not given comparable pay or offered a job of comparable pay according to the tripartite agreement, Supplement U. Also, they say that the reason that was given to them why they weren't offered these positions was that they were beyond the normal retirement age. I don't know what else that they were required to do to preserve that issue through the pleadings.
But I don't understand. If their only entitlement was to the same rate of pay until they reached normal retirement age, then... Why isn't that just the limits of their entitlement?
Well, if you provide a benefit to one group of people, you cannot impermissibly discriminate another group of people. And age was the...
It's extremely common. You can have an early retirement plan, which provides financial incentives to people to retire, you know, early. They can't complain that that's age discrimination. They can keep working if they want, but if they keep working, they're not going to get the early retirement benefit.
But usually the retirement plans are based on vesting, how many years you have, and that would be factors other than age. This is strictly based on age. No other factors involve age. And that if you are permitted to...
No, that's not true. A typical early retirement plan would say, you know, if you retire by 65, you get, you know, 2 years' salary plus your pension. And if you keep working, after that, you don't get that.
But you're permitted to work at your position. You're not... forced to take a job.
In most companies, you don't have a fixed position, right?
That's true.
You're at some specified wage. You can have your wage cut.
But for the supplement U, which created this benefit...
But I don't think they cut these people's salaries by giving them these inferior jobs because of their age, but because the entitlement created by supplement U didn't extend after age 65.
Well, I disagree because of the way they were treated. I mean, they never checked to see what they were qualified for. They never offered them a position based on their mechanical backgrounds and their experience. They offered them jobs that they knew that they were going to turn down.
What's the evidence that there's any technical work for these people to do?
Well, in the transcript before the arbitration, there was talk about their schooling. There's a school that they have, the flight engineers, because of their mechanical background, would teach part-time that had been retired. There were different positions that were mentioned during this the course of this two-day hearing.
Want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bischoff. Ms. Spangler?
Thank you, Your Honor. Cardell Spangler on behalf of Defendant Appellees. May it please the Court. This case rises and falls on one single issue. Did appellants have a contractual right to positions of comparable pay under Supplement U of the Tripartite Agreement when their flight engineer positions were eliminated in 2002? This is the sole issue that appellants raised in their EEOC charges. This is the sole claim that they raised in the complaint before the district court. The district court, based upon the arbitrator's ruling, properly concluded that the answer to this single issue was no. Appellants did not have a contractual right to positions of comparable pay. And without a contractual right under Supplement U, appellants claimed that American discriminated against them on the basis of their ages when it did not offer them such positions. And the language of the district court was eviscerated.
I guess what Mr. Bischoff is saying is accepting the arbitrator's interpretation of the contract itself gives one package of benefits to people who are below the age of 65 and a lesser package of benefits to people, transfer benefits effectively, to people who are above the age of 65, and that uses age as a classifier.
Yes, and I think that gets to the second issue, Your Honor, which is, was that claim that appellants now raise, was that inside the scope of their charge of discrimination? And it was not. If it was outside the scope of their charges, when they brought those charges in 2002, they cannot raise that claim now.
But American has been sort of defending against that claim in the alternative for quite a while. I mean, it seems to me American was well aware that this was the theory. Now, that you may have responses to that theory, but it seems to me that if American was aware that essentially they were complaining, for whatever reason, we're not getting the money, and put it in whatever box you want, but we think that the fact that we're above the age of 65 seems to have something to do with it, isn't that enough notice for you to go forward?
American only became aware of that, Your Honor, during the proceedings in the lower court. It was not aware of that at the EEOC stage, which is where plaintiffs and appellants were required to raise that claim in order for it to be procedurally allowed before the district court.
Well, on the assumption that, again, on this fairly broad notice theory that I'm suggesting, that it essentially that even the EEOC knew that they were concerned one way or the other with the fact that the reason they were not offered positions at a compensation level comparable to what they'd been getting as flight engineers was their age. And maybe they didn't articulate very well exactly how that came to be, but the EEOC knew that was the gist of their complaint. If that claim is preserved, therefore, what do you have to say about it?
I would first say, Your Honor, that I think their claims are exactly opposite, so I would not concede that the EEOC necessarily
I'm assuming
knew.
You're not going to concede that, but I'm asking you just for the sake of argument. What is your position? Do you lose if that's the way we look at this?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
All right, no. And so why?
I think what you have to look at here in terms of what the arbitrator's ruling was, that Supplement U essentially ended, the benefits ended at age 65, that flight engineers who transitioned to a different position before they are age 65 could then get the benefits of Supplement U until age 65. And I believe...
What if Supplement U had said, we get to fire everybody upon reaching their 65th birthday? Would that be consistent with the age discrimination statute?
That would not be consistent, Your Honor.
All right, so why is this different?
Because this is... The purpose of this was to ensure that flight engineers were able to maximize their pensions. It didn't have really anything to do with age. It was certainly a correlation with age because that happened upon age 65. But there's no age-based stereotype here that says that people who are over age 65 can't continue to work. In fact, in this case, the appellants continued to work until they were 75 and 70 in the flight engineer positions and were offered positions after that. So the animus that the ADEA is designed to eradicate simply isn't here in this case.
Does the record show that they were working as actual flight engineers in these 727s up until the age of 70 and 75?
That's correct,
Your Honor.
I'm
curious as to how this case intersects with all the cases American has had about mandatory positions about who can be a pilot and people needing to leave at age 60. And there's been so much litigation about that.
Well, these plaintiffs were grandfathered in under the tripartite agreement.
So you had this crew of three people, one of whom was 70 years old?
That's correct.
Just as a detail, I noticed that when they phased out the flight engineer position, they converted it to a pilot's position so that there were three pilots. I mean, that's ended since. But why did they do that? Was that just some bargaining thing for pilots? They didn't need a third pilot.
It was my understanding, Your Honor, this happened, I believe, back in the 50s and the 60s, that at that time the thought was that the third seat should be pilot qualified or at least eligible to become a pilot.
But what's curious is if before that two pilots were considered adequate and the flight engineer would, monitor the various dials and so on, and if they decide that the flight engineer isn't needed, why would they think they needed another pilot?
I can't answer that question, Your Honor.
Just curious. On. Is that it?
As to appellant's claim, and I think we've addressed some of this already, that his new claim is within the scope of the charge of discrimination that he filed. American's position is that the district court was correct in its ruling that the two positions are in fact the opposites of one another and that one was not in fact subsumed in the other and that his claim was therefore barred on administrative grounds. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Ms. Spangler. Mr. Bischoff, how much time does he have?
Basically, the reason why they put in a third pilot was not for safety reasons. It was part of the training program. Because of all the mechanics that the flight engineers usually monitored was no longer in these newer aircraft. And so to avoid a big conflict between the flight engineers union and the pilots union and the carrier, they agreed that the flight engineers would always hold a position as long as there was a third seat in the aircraft, and that no longer existed at American when they retired the 727s. So, but during the time the third position was held by a first officer that was a pilot, not all aircraft have three seats, so there's still most of the aircraft still only have two pilots unless it's an overseas flight.
I just had a question. Even if we rule in your favor and say that your complaint, your claims could be read, if we read it really broadly, to include this facial discrimination claim, what evidence do you have, either direct or indirect, that age was the reason they were offered these inferior positions. What evidence do you have that there was discriminatory intent?
One was at the hearing before the arbitrator. I asked Mr. Berta if there was any consideration of their background and experience in offering these positions. He said no. Were they offered any other positions? No. They were offered these positions a month before they made their last flight, and they had a short timeline to either accept or not accept it. All of these things are indicia.
Well, could you identify a young person with similar training background to these people? Obviously would have less experience because he'd be younger, but similar, except for age, who have a better job with America?
There were three flight engineers left.
Well, I understand, but you said there's a technical school and so on. There are still engineers obviously employed by American Airlines. If there weren't, you'd have nothing to complain about. So wouldn't you have to find someone in a technical position that these people, your clients, would be qualified to fill, and a person who is no better qualified than they?
I don't believe that for our case.
You said they could teach in some technical school that American has. Well, presumably there are teachers in that school. So couldn't you investigate whether those people were less qualified or no more qualified than your clients for that technical teaching job?
Yes, I could investigate.
But you didn't.
I did not.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Bishop and Ms. Spangler.
Thank you.